the life of Jesus in the very last week of his life before the crucifixion, you'll see, boy, all the wicked things they did to Christ. They beat him with a Roman whip 40 times. They plucked his beard, the Bible says. They ripped his garments apart. They cast lots. They spat upon his face. They beat him with their hands and said, "Tell us if you really are the prophet. Who hit you?" And they marched him off to Calvary, carrying that cross after his body was ripped apart. And they had no mercy whatsoever. Even when he fell under the weight of the cross, they said, "Pick it up again." And when he got to Calvary, they nailed him to that cross. And on the cross, you'll find Jesus saying, "I thirst, give me some water." And they wouldn't give him water. These were the Romans. And I think in my mind, if I was Paul, and if God had saved me, and God said, "Go to the Romans and share the gospel," I'd say, "Lord, there's a better place I can go, not to the Romans." But you know, Paul, no, it was not Paul. Before salvation, Paul had a heart that was so hard that he did bad things. But after salvation, God had changed his heart. Now he could weep with those who wept. His heart could be moved with souls that were going through hard times. And most of all, if they didn't know Christ, every city, every place Paul went, he wanted to take the gospel in there and make sure people got to hear the gospel and they would get saved. What a burden, what a heart. Paul planted so many churches, went so many, to so many great cities, and what an amazing plan that was. But look at these words one more time. It says, Paul says, "I am debtor." I want to remind you tonight, Paul says, "I." He didn't say "you," he said "I." After all the years he had served Christ, he still said, "I am debtor." I want you to know every decision that you make in the Christian life has to begin with you. You can't say it's the pastor's job, it's the church's job. It's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to have a burden, to have a passion for what God wants me to have a passion for. And also, I love the verb that Paul uses, his "am." Didn't say "was," didn't say "will," he said "I am." And then the next word, "debtor." A debtor is somebody that owes someone something. And here Paul says, "I owe a debt." I love that little chorus that we sing, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away." And what a blessed thing it is that Jesus was willing to come into this world and take my sin upon his body and pay my sin debt so I could go to heaven when he went to the cross to die for me. What an exchange. God takes my sin and gives me his son. All I needed to do was ask. I didn't have to do one thing. He prepared the missionary. He sent the Canadian woman back to India to come as a single woman to share the gospel with people that she didn't see, she didn't meet in her lifetime. And she spent 45, 50 years sharing the gospel, one soul at a time, reaching them with the gospel. I want to quickly take you to four things why Paul feels he's a debtor. Number one, we're all debtors because of our personal relationship with the Lord. Paul says in verse number 5, he says, "By whom we have received grace." If Jesus saved you, you are a debtor. I don't want to think of that way. And neither does Jesus twist my arm to go and serve him someplace. But he says, "I want you to know that I love you with an everlasting love." And God puts a burden and a passion in our hearts for other people because he saved me from those very same conditions. I could have been lost. I could have been going to hell. I could be in hell for all I can think about. But you know what? He cared enough to send somebody my way. And tonight, if you're saved, you owe a debt. God's given us an opportunity to take the gospel to every person that God puts in our pathway. No, there are no accidents with God, by the way. Everything's a divine appointment. The people that you meet today, the people that you meet tomorrow, God's put them in your pathway so you could be a light in a dark world. And many times I've missed the opportunity of sharing the gospel because I was so caught up with what was important to me. And so I want to take you on really to the next point here. Paul says also the burden that he felt, the debt that he felt was because of a personal responsibility given to him by God, by the Lord. If you look at verse number 5, he says, "By whom we've received grace and," the next word, "apostleship." We're not called to be apostles today, but God has given us an opportunity. In the book of Hebrews, he says, the writer says that we are a royal priesthood. We're all priests. What's the work of the priest in the Old Testament? He had two responsibilities. One was to take what God had told him and tell it to the people. And the other one was to take the burdens of the people to the Lord. And by the way, it hasn't changed in us. Today, God's asked you to be a priest, and he's made us priests. Why? Because we can be his channel. The word that God gives to us and is given to us, we need to share with other people. We need to take the gospel to all people. And then we must pray on behalf of the people that God puts in our lives. Let me go to the next thought here. Also, Paul said he's a debtor because of the people that need to be reached with the light of God, of the gospel. If you look at verse number 14, Paul says here, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, what Paul's saying here is, I am a debtor to every human being God's put in my life, to all people. It doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter where they're at in the world. It doesn't matter what kind of food they eat. We owe them a debt. If you go to Romans chapter number 9, you'll find here Paul didn't lose this passion. In verse number 1, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great, what's the next word, heaviness. And look at the next two words, and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, that my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who the Israelites, and Paul goes on to explain here. In other words, what Paul's saying is, I'm so burdened. He says, my heart is so heavy. I'm full of grief. He says, I want to see my people saved. He says, I want to see my nation saved. And he says, oh God, have mercy. If at all possible, could you switch places with me, you know, and the other person that's not saved. I wish we had a passion like that for people, where we'd say, God, if at all possible, I'm willing to die in their place. God, if at all possible, I'm willing to share the good news and make sure that person doesn't get saved. There was a great meeting one day, and a preacher was preaching in a big church. And as he was preaching about evangelism and missions, there was a man sitting right back in the auditorium. He was a Muslim. And he stood up in the middle of the sermon, and he shouted out aloud. He said, Pastor, let me stop you right there. He said, I don't believe a word that you're saying about missions or evangelism. And the whole audience went still. And he said, you know why? Because if you really meant what you were preaching, you'd be crawling on your knees, taking the gospel to people. But I don't see you doing that. Sometimes God uses people like that to convict us. Because are we doing everything we can to take the gospel to people? Praise God for the churches that are burdened for missions and are doing a great work, but there's more we can do. You know, our time's ticking and our window of opportunity is going to go out. We're not going to get these opportunities once we leave this world to give to missions, to get on our knees and pray, to get together a group of people and say, let's go and help somebody. I'm so thrilled that Pastor was willing to go all the way to Wyoming and, you know, help a church planter start a church and see what's going on there and be a part of that great work. Our passion needs to propel us to doing something. Whenever Jesus had compassion, he just didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry for what's going on. But he did something about it. You know, God could have had the same, way he could have felt about us. He could have said, oh, I love these people. They really desperately need to be saved. But I'm just going to hope that they get saved somehow. No. But the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent his Son into this world so he could see for himself how he could live amongst men and then die for them. Even on the cross, Jesus led the sinner, that wicked man that was put to death rightfully so. And while he was hanging on the cross, all the words that Jesus said convicted him so deeply. He said, oh, I deserve to die, but you don't. Could you kindly remember me when you go to paradise? And Jesus said, tonight, you'll be with me in paradise. What a Savior. go in the gospel, in the Gospel of John, you'll find John chapter number 4 or chapter number 3, Jesus meets Nicodemus and he tells Nicodemus, oh, you Nicodemus, you must be born again. John chapter 4, he meets the Samaritan woman. He lets her know how important it is, though she messed her life up and she did bad things. Jesus said, if you truly want this water that I have, you'll have eternal life and you'll never thirst again. And story after story, John chapter number 19, Zacchaeus. He was wicked. He was sinful. He had done bad things. But Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. Your life is never going to be the same anymore. I'm going to walk into your house, but not just into your house. He said, I'm going to get into your heart. And when I get into your heart, you'll be a changed person and you're going to be different. No wonder Zacchaeus said, Lord, all that I've taken from every person, I'm going to give back. I want to restore more than I took from them. When Jesus comes in, he changes our life. Everything about us, he changes. What a passion Paul had for people. And then I want to show one more last thing here tonight in verse number 14. We'll go to verse number 5 again. Paul says, by whom we've received grace and apostleship. Why? Why this position? Why this responsibility? He says, for obedience. And then he says, to the faith. And then he says, among all nations. And look at these three words. For his name. We owe a debt to people, to the world, and for the praise of his name, for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we do the will of God is so we can glorify Jesus and do exactly what he asked us to do. You know, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So that's my one desire. That's my one passion. No wonder Paul said, for to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Paul was so burdened. And tonight I want to challenge you and ask you this question. Are you passionate that way to seeing people saved? Are you passionate about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in and through your life? Say, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next year holds or next month holds. But Lord, I'm willing tonight to just let you take control of my life. There's three things I want to ask you and I'm done. Three questions real fast. Number one, are you saved? You may say, Brother Jacob, I'm in church, but that's not my question. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? I was in a church lost, so lost. Never heard the gospel until I met this Canadian missionary lady. And you might be sitting in church, you might be listening to the preaching, but are you sure if you die tonight, you'll go to heaven? Number two, let me ask you this. When did you surrender your life to Jesus? You say, Brother Jacob, that's just for pastors and people that go to Bible college. No. It's for every Christian. If you're a Christian, you need to say, Lord, not my will. In Romans chapter number 12, the apostle says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service. God wants us to give him everything we've got. And too many of us still take control of our lives, and we say, Lord, I can't give you. I'll give you a little bit. My father-in-law would say, many times he said, if you had a bunch of keys, of 100 keys, and he said, Lord, here's 99. And it makes more sense to me now that I was a janitor in Long Beach, all that big key bunch that I had there. But my father-in-law would say this. He said, give me that one. You keep the 99. And that's surrender. When you're able to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm willing. I'll obey you. Last of all, what are you doing to serve him today? You say, Brother Jacob, I don't have time. I'm so busy. You know, this life will pass. This world is not my home, the songwriter said. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know how you invest, get treasures? When you start serving Jesus. Where do I begin? You say, Brother Jacob, I want to serve. What do I do? Go to pastor. Ask him. How can I be involved? Oh, he'll find you something to do. There's so many things we can do and not miss the opportunities God has given to us. So let's not wait. Say, God, I want to serve you today while I have breath in my nostril and in my body. I want to do something to make a difference in this world, in this life. So tonight, what a wonderful man of God, isn't it? Paul said, I'm a debtor. And I understand the debt that I owe, but I don't want to just sit down. Out of gratitude of my heart for what Jesus has done, I want to reach other people. I want to let them know what he did for me so they don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid it all. And may God help us tonight to do our part. And may God help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Lord, I want to thank you for saving me, calling me into the ministry, Lord, and also sending me out to do the work that you've asked me to do. Help me to redeem the time that you've given me, Lord, and do more and be willing to do anything and everything you ask me to do, because I know you'll be glorified in that. I pray for tonight that you'll move in our midst and work in my heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.